The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
My next guest has warned that Ireland may be unprepared for a surge of cancer cases that are expected in the near future. Professor John Kennedy is retiring co-director of the Trinity St James's Cancer Institute with over four decades of experience in cancer treatment and research. And he's here with me now. You're very welcome.
Morning.
Thank you for being with me. So congratulations, I suppose, on reaching this point in your career where you're ready to hand over the mantle. How do you feel about it?
I feel mixed emotions. I think most people would answer the question that way, and I would too. I've really enjoyed my time working. It's been a fantastic time to be involved in cancer care in Ireland because services have improved so dramatically over the last 30 years. It's been fantastic to be part of that. Internationally, care for cancer has really improved as well. Outcomes are far better for patients. That's been incredibly gratifying.
So, and you've witnessed all of that change because you were in America for the first 10 years of your career. Is that right?
Yeah, I graduated in 1983, did my basic training in Ireland, did a little bit of oncology, and then went to America for 11 years. I was at Johns Hopkins for 11 years doing cancer research and care there. And I saw how it was quite a revelation to me at the time. I saw how cancer care should be delivered, and that was not the way it was in Ireland in those days. And I remember seeing a lady one morning who came in to me with severe headaches, and I was quite concerned. She had brain metastases, and she had an MRI scan at lunchtime confirming that, and she started radiation the following morning.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, that was the way to do it. And now, thankfully, in Ireland, that is the way we do it because of all the advances that have been made and the improvements in service.
So when you came back to Ireland then, the difference must have been stark between what you had seen in America.
The difference is always substantial between what you see in America and what you see in a publicly funded healthcare system like we have in Ireland, because it's a different funding system. There's an awful lot of money in the system. It is different. There's no doubt about it. And of course, Irish people, who trainees who go to work in America, go to the very best centres. So they're not going to a mediocre centre in the middle of a pretty isolated area. They're going to the major centres in the major East Coast cities, and they see the very best that those centres can provide. Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit of a shock, but it does give you an insight into what is feasible and what is possible, and it gives you guidance in how you should be developing your services and how you should work to develop those services over time.
So now we've done really well in terms of progress over the last 30 years. What are you concerned about, though, for the next 30 years for cancer care?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, the first thing to say is we have very substantially increasing demands upon the resources, and I'm not convinced that we have the plan in place or the capacity to deliver that efficiently and effectively for patients. There are a variety of reasons for that. Firstly, we have an increasing population. So the population has increased by 15% over the last 10 years, but the population of people over 65 has increased by 36%, and those are the people that get cancer. So the first thing to say is that pure, simple demographics tell us that we have an increasing demand all the time. Secondly, we have far better therapies for patients. So there is a much wider range of active treatments for patients that are effective. And those patients require more treatment. They live longer. They require more follow-up, more scanning. There's just a host of factors that are increasingly pushing on demand and resource allocation. And that's only going to go in one direction.
So a lot of this then is about aftercare as well. People who've been through cancer treatment will need follow-up care.
So the great news is that we have about 250,000 people in Ireland who have been probably cured of their cancer in all likelihood, certainly survived their treatment and look like they're doing very well. But they will have toxicities of treatment and toxicities of their disease that will last and that will require ongoing care. So that's kind of the price of success. And that is an area that has been focused on recently, but we'll need more of that.
Okay. And is there a lack right now when it comes to those services, or are you predicting that this is what's going to happen into the future?
Those services are in evolution. They are improving. The NCCP has done quite a bit of work developing those. Individual cancer centres develop those as well. But we need to be able to provide services for patients who've had surgery for prostate cancer, who've had radiation therapy to their head and neck. I mean, all these things produce long-term ongoing issues. The other point I would make out is that we have a host of new treatments for cancer that are based on immune therapy, and they have produced phenomenal results for diseases that previously were very difficult to treat, like malignant melanoma and lung cancer, etc. But they produce long-term toxicities in terms of thyroid failure, adrenal failure, endocrine problems, and that are going to be lifelong, and we need to be in a position to deal with all of those. So the resource demands are continually increasing.
Those immunotherapies are available to doctors and to patients in this country now, right? We're not lacking in that regard.
Well, I think that's a very broad question that has quite a subtle answer to it. There are areas where there's clearly those therapies are available and be given for patients, but the indications expand all the time. And the numbers of new drugs coming on the scene is increasingly at a rapid rate. So I would just point out to you that in the 90s, I think there was something like between 5 and 8 new drugs approved for cancer care by the FDA in America. Now it's in the region of 20 a year. And these are all novel drugs with novel side effects, but we have to decide who to give them to. They're very, very expensive. So yes, a lot of these immune therapies are available, but others are not.
Mm-hmm. And what are you seeing with cancer rates? Is it changing?
The major factor pushing the increase in the amount of cancer out there is the increase in the size of the population and the aging of the population. The actual individual cancer rates per head of population or per age group is not greatly increased, except perhaps for melanoma to some extent, because we all staked ourselves out on the beach in Greece and covered ourselves in olive oil back in the 70s
and
80s.
So that perception perhaps that rates are increasing is not necessarily true. Perhaps detection is increasing?
The incidence is increasing because the population is increasing. But the actual rates per head of population are not greatly different.
Mm-hmm. Because you do hear about, you know, is our lifestyle affecting our health in terms of what we're eating, our diet, processed foods and so on. What's your view
on that? That's a very important point. There's no doubt about it. Lifestyle is incredibly important for cancer incidence. I mean, if you go back 200,000 years, you know, people didn't live to be 80. They ran around a lot, they didn't get obese, and they were probably eaten by something when they were 25. So we didn't have a lot of cancer. Cancer is a lifestyle disease associated with aging, but it's increased by obesity, it's increased by alcohol, it's increased by lack of exercise, by exposure to ultraviolet light, and by smoking particularly. So there's a huge lifestyle implication for cancer. I would like to make one point, which is very interesting, and you've just brought it up there. There's a substantial increase all through the Western world in younger patients with certain cancers, particularly colorectal cancer. And we don't know why that is, but we think it may well be related to lifestyle changes, perhaps with diet, and they may have been lifestyle changes that began 30 or 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see the effects now. So there's a lot to be teased out there.
What we are eating.
What we are eating.
Potentially. Not a proven link yet, but the suspicion is there.
Well, it's got to be high on the list of possible causes.
Mm-hmm. We heard yesterday at an Oireachtas committee about our radiography machines. 80% of them need to be replaced. That's an astonishing figure.
So we're talking about radiation therapy, which is a very, very important core part of treatment for patients with cancer. We have a very old cohort of machines in the public service in Ireland for radiation, and they need to be replaced. And some of them are more than 15 years old. And, you know, it's a real problem because it's not simple to get these machines in place. They're very expensive. There's a huge program of work around getting them in, and you have to continue to provide a radiation service at the same time. I think it's a problem that has been allowed to develop, unfortunately. And I think it points to a bigger problem, which is a lack of nimble planning for replacement of important equipment, very expensive equipment, which is very important that it be up to date and not, you know, breaking down, etc. And the same is true for capital projects. I mean, within the system that we operate, it seems to me that replacement of machinery, replacement of equipment, building of facilities takes an enormous length of time. And I think that's something that needs to be looked at.
And the feed through isn't there. So we're not starting in time. So we get to this point where 80% of machines in one area are in trouble.
Well, the National Cancer Strategy, which I was involved with 10 years ago, did say that there needed to be a rolling plan for replacement of radiation therapy machines.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we're in a situation where now we're looking at having to replace all of these machines in a very short period of time. That is a major undertaking. I think there has to be planning for routine replacement of extremely expensive and important equipment as it approaches the end of its natural life. I'm talking about MRI scanners, PET scanners. One of the big issues we have with cancer care, big issues, and it's other areas obviously as well, is access to diagnostic scanners. They need to be upgraded and replaced and increased in number in the public system.
Mm-hmm. So how is that affecting daily life for clinicians then when they see someone coming in? That example that you gave earlier about the woman in John Hopkins.
Yeah.
So is that affecting how somebody would
Well, that's an emergency.
React?
That's an emergency. But I'm talking about very much routine care. If you're a patient diagnosed with colon cancer and you have superb surgery, radiation in this hospital, in this country, that you get the excellent therapy, you then need to be followed carefully to make sure you don't have recurrent disease. And that involves having, for the first few years, having routine scans, routine endoscopy. Our ability to provide that in the appropriate timescale is really a problem because it tends to get pushed to one side because of emergency requirements. And we don't have the capacity to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be addressed. There's no doubt about that. I've been told by some of our senior nursing colleagues that they spend about 20% of their time trying to get patients into scans for important staging scans or follow-up scans that need to be done for proper management of patients.
And that's a waste of time.
That's a massive waste of time. We should be investing in infrastructure and equipment and facilities.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned you were involved in the National Cancer Strategy 10 years ago. As you leave the service now, are you happy that there is a plan? But there is a strategy?
There's going to be another National Cancer Strategy. One of the great kudos you get in Europe, if you go to Europe, is that you guys have had a National Cancer Strategy every year since the first one of 1996 by Professor Fennelly from St. Vincent's, which was the first of those. And it's a really important roadmap. You may not deliver everything. It may not be perfect, but it says this is what we need to focus on for the next 10 years. And I think that it's taken very seriously by the substantial number of people that contribute to it. And I think it's a very good thing that we do that. And we will be doing it again. I understand that plan to do it again.
But I assume you know, in the plan that you were involved in, you would have said about the machines and the infrastructure and the IT and so on. And here we are.
There was. I mean, a document like that is very long, and it goes through a very large number of things, starting with prevention, early detection, access, treatment, follow up, survivorship, clinical trials. Some of the recommendations have been well implemented and they're ongoing. Some have not been implemented because COVID interrupted, for instance, and others simply have not made it to the top of the pile of things to be done. I think one of the things that I would comment on, and this was recently brought out at the, I think, the PAC by one of the CEOs of one of the Dublin hospitals, is that the notion that every year there's an annual funding discussion for cancer care, but other cares as well, obviously in major hospitals, is an issue. We need to be thinking about multi-year funding to get programs delivered rather than having stop-start funding. It's very difficult to plan highly complex multidisciplinary care.
You can't do a multi-year plan on that basis.
It's very difficult, and we need to think about that. How do we address that? It's a bigger problem.
So as you leave and head off, I hope to enjoy life. Will you miss it?
I'll miss my colleagues. As I often say, I'll miss the nurses. They're great to work with. One of the huge strengths of the Irish system is the quality and extent of specialist nurses that we now have in cancer care. And we've always been very lucky in being able to bring back really top class physicians, doctors, surgeons, etc. from America. But we're now starting to see a fantastic cohort of highly educated, highly committed, highly specialised nurse specialists in the cancer services. And they're the backbone of the service. And I've just been a real pleasure working with them.
Well, John, it's been a pleasure to have you in. And thank you very much and the very best of luck with whatever the future brings for you. That's Professor John Kennedy, retiring co-director of the Trinity St. James's Cancer Institute. Thank you very much for being with us.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.